Before we have a reading of God's word and the exhortation, let us go to the Lord, seeking illumination, seeking his blessing upon his word. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for gathering us together as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to hear this last word we have tonight from you, O Lord. We pray, Lord, as we realize that we suffer and battle against many temptations, especially in the mind, and especially on this Lord's Day, the day that we rest in you and we trust in you and we hear a word from you. We know that even then, Lord, we battle against the flesh. And so we pray, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have our minds to be receptive to all the things that we read in this passage, O Lord. Help me, O Lord, to exhort as a dying man unto dying men and women, and help us all, O Lord, to really glean from this passage, especially as it concerns our duty towards you and our duty towards one another. Fill us with hearts that are loving, fill us with hearts that are receptive, and may everyone here, Lord, realize that they have met with the triune God and that we have all been strengthened and encouraged to battle against all opposition and to love one another and to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help your people be with us this night. We pray this in Christ. Amen. Please rise as we read God's word. Now, the sermon text is from chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. But it's important that this is all that we understand that this is all one letter, and we need to understand the context of what Paul is doing here with this church in Thessalonica. And so I'm gonna back up just for context to help us understand this passage that we are about to be exhorted on. So we're gonna back up to chapter 2, verse 17. And again, the exhortation comes from verses 6 to 13. This is a word from the Lord Jesus Christ, and as the Holy Spirit speaks through the Apostle Paul. So listen to it meekly. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time in person, not in heart, we endeavor the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, I could bear it no longer. I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. And now here's our text. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith, for we now live. If you are standing fast in the Lord, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. Please be seated. It's been about a month since we looked into this book of 1 Thessalonians. And just to keep us in context of this whole letter, let's back track of how the Lord is using the Apostle Paul to minister to this church in Thessalonica. This is a church that he says is called by God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a church that he offers grace and peace to. Basically, that is a understanding that they are part of the covenant people of God. And that's the reason why the Apostle Paul wants to encourage these young believers in Thessalonica. This is a new church, a brand new church that has come under the teaching of the Apostle Paul. But in this church, there was apparently a lot of disagreements about Paul's ministry. Many false teachers may have been in it. And even those without, as this church was called by the Apostle Paul's teaching and by the power of the Holy Spirit, they still had many things, especially opposition, coming towards their way. And one of the oppositions that they were experiencing was questioning Apostle Paul's ministry, questioning the faith of the shepherd. And so what does Apostle Paul do? As was said this morning, he defended himself. And not only defended himself, he defended the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that defense, he gave us an understanding, the heart of a shepherd, a heart for a shepherd to love his sheep. Apostle Paul was a good shepherd. But in this defense, as he is writing this letter, you see, as we read in chapter 2 and in the beginning of chapter 3, you've seen the heart of the Apostle Paul. He was saddened. He felt like he was an orphan amongst them. He was saddened and he wanted to meet them face to face. Why would he want to meet them face to face? Because he was concerned that their faith would diminish. He couldn't sleep. And so what does he do? He sends Timothy. Timothy, as some people believe that he was timid, and that is not what we get here from Timothy. Paul calls him God's co-worker. That's a very high calling, and that's a very important thing to say about a person, that they are God's co-worker. And what does Timothy do? He brings back to Paul the faith of the Thessalonians. And what is their faith? They are increasing. They are increasing in faith and love. And so that anxiety that the Apostle Paul had about their faith, he hears the good news from Timothy. And that is the context of what we have here. This is a sermon about the good news that we all will persevere in the faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that we will always persevere in faith and love, and we should encourage one another. This is a letter of encouragement. And that we all will persevere until the very end. And so that's what we have for us today. The teaching is that true believers will persevere in faith and love despite opposition. And then believers must encourage and pray for one another to continue in holiness. So point number one, we will see in verse 6. And the point number one is true believers will persevere in faith and love despite opposition. That's what we have before us. It says in verse 6, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you." At this point of Paul's letter, there is a shift. He's gone from thanking them, being encouraged by them, all that, but also defending his faith, defending his apostleship, defending him as a shepherd. Now he goes on to a thankfulness to God about their faith, This is an encouragement that the Lord is giving to Apostle Paul. And so Apostle Paul, all his anxiety, all his things that he was worried about, the Lord gives him comfort in the believers, that he ministered to. So Paul was concerned about their faith. You read that in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And he was concerned about their love, which is why we went over to chapter 2, verses 17 to 20. He was concerned about that they would, in this opposition that they are having, that they would lose their faith and love. And that's what the good news Timothy brings them, that they are persevering in faith and love. Paul prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly that they would increase. And that's exactly what's happening. And so they persevered in faith. And what is faith? Faith is trusting and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the works, all his saving works, trusting and resting on him. Faith attached to the Christ and the finishing work that he did on the cross. But also trusting in every single word that is written down in scripture. Trusting in all the words of the Lord. And that faith is assurance, a conviction. A conviction that all things that the Lord has revealed is true. That's what faith is. And that is very enlightening because we have this understanding of faith that's very simplistic. But we are to have a faith that is truly resting, trusting, relying upon the Lord, our God. And it's something that cannot be just diminished. It is something that cannot be, even though it's attacked, it will always persevere because it's attached to whom? The eternal Son of God, the eternal Father, and the Holy Spirit has given us this faith. And so that is why they are persevering. It's as if you was to see me right here passed out before you and die in front of you and then come to life right in front of you, you would tell many people of what you saw. Because you saw it with your own eyes. But when you have faith, a faith that's a gift from God, it's as if you are there when you see the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, him rising from the dead. And that faith that you attach to the Lord, that's attached to the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving work, will have you to persevere no matter what opposition is in front of you. And that's why they're moving forward. But they're not only moving forward in faith. Their faith is working out in love. And that was one of Paul's concerns. Their faith was working out of love. And this love is a commandment from the Lord that is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's exactly what these Christians at Thessalonica were doing. They loved the Lord. And they loved each other and they were sacrificing for one another despite the opposition that they were going through. Their faith was shown by it was not just a remembrance of Paul and his ministry. Their faith here is shown by wanting to see him, longing to see their shepherd face to face. Their love is expressed in their shepherd. And it is the motivating mark of all Christians. Love is the motivating mark of all Christians. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed us this. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love is a distinguishing mark of a Christian. There are many things, as we study throughout church history, that we understand that the church did. There were a lot of brave souls, especially in the early church. But you want to know what turned the world upside down? Was Christians' love for one another. Christians' love for one another. Jew, Gentile, Christians all across the world. This church in Thessalonica is a church that was, they were Gentiles. But the Lord saved them. And now they're mingling in together. People who have nothing in common with one another. But the faith that is attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what turned the world upside down. Their love and joy for one another. It's not miracles. It's not intellect. It's not any of those things. It is the love for God and love for one another. And so Christians must persevere in faith and love. But they also, more importantly, must persevere in faith and love despite opposition. And these Christians in Thessalonica had much opposition. Even their founding had opposition. If you read Acts 17, this is how the church was founded. It was in the midst of opposition. Opposition is to be expected. Apostle Paul, as we read in the beginning verses in chapter 3, this is something that I taught you guys, that you will experience opposition. And that's exactly what they're doing. And it's not just the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus, you remember in John chapter 16, verse 33, what did he say? In the world, you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. And so the Lord Jesus testifies to this. Apostle Paul taught this many times. It wasn't about health, wealth, prosperity for these Christians. It wasn't about you being loving. It's not about you Christians just getting together and celebrating with one another. Apostle Paul knew that they were to expect opposition. And in spite of this opposition, they are persevering in faith and love. And how are they doing that? How exactly are they persevering? It is by the power of the Holy Spirit and the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. The intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 20 to 21. By the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, it is the Lord Jesus Christ bringing that blood to the heavens. That sacrifice, it is still our intercession. It is still he is still our mediator, and he's still purging us by that blood. But this is also Jesus' prayer for us. John 17, 11, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, that is his people. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. You have heard that in this morning, and you have heard it in JP's prayer tonight. How we become one is that we love one another. And that is exactly what Jesus' prayer was, that you will love one another. Luke chapter 22, verse 32 says, but I have prayed for you. This is to Peter. But I have prayed that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And that is exactly what Peter did, as he denied his Lord, but the Lord restored him and had him to strengthen his brothers. And then John 14, 16, this is how the Holy Spirit helps us. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. It is the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that brought us from the dead, that has us to be united, to love one another, and to continue on in that love, continue on in that faith, despite the opposition that we have before us. So that is good news. That's the good news that the Apostle Paul received. And that's the good news that we are to receive as well. So the question is, do you have this faith and love. This love that goes out and loves your brother and sister increasingly. And if you do have that faith, has it been tested? What type of opposition have you been in? As we go through more and more opposition, we must pray to the Lord to increase our faith and our love for one another. Because there is much opposition that we are going to have. And if our idea of love is a romantic love, if our idea of faith is something that's not based on the scriptures, but truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in every single word of God, if it's not that faith, it will not stand in opposition. It will not stand in persecution. It won't. It can't. Because there's no true love. There's no true faith. This is why we ought to learn to thank God for all the oppositions that come in our way. James says, thank the Lord for every trial. What is he? The context was they were under much persecution. He says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. And the reason why is, it's in those times where we are going through much opposition that we love one another more closely. That's who you know who loves you the most, especially when you're going through much opposition. And that's how your faith continues to increase. Because it's being tested. And while it's being tested, you move forward. And if it doesn't move forward, it's not true faith. It's not truly relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not true love for your neighbor. This love of God and this faith is missing in a lot of churches in our day. And I pray it's not this church. This is one of the prayers of all the elders here. Because there's many churches that end up falling away. There's many people who leave churches over the silliest reasons. Moving to the Pacific Northwest for the silliest reasons. But we are to love one another, trust the Lord, and have faith in Him. There are many churches that split over head coverings. Many churches cannot agree on the frequency of the Lord's Supper. Is that love? Is that loving the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that loving His church? We must be aware of this because there are many, many churches that do not get this right. And it's because they have a lack of love for one another. Now, point number two, true believers will encourage others to persevere in faith and love. This is in verses 7-9. For this reason, brothers, in all of our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live. If you are standing fast in the Lord, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? Those are some very encouraging words. This whole letter is a letter of encouragement to these Christians in Thessalonica. They are companions, as they all Christians must go through much tribulation. This is why the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1 saying, I am your brother in the tribulation. I'm your companion. They are all with one another. In spite of all the distresses, in spite of all the affliction, like it says in verse 7. Apostle Paul is encouraging them. And encouragement comes out because of their faith and love for one another. This is what John was saying in 3 John chapter 4. He says, I have no greater joy to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That's the Apostle John talking to those people that he ministered to during his day. I have no greater joy. Is that our greatest joy? To see one another persevering in the faith? Is that our greatest joy? to see the love that's being expressed by one another. Is that our greatest joy? That's the John's greatest joy, is that they are persevering in the faith. Apostle Paul said it gave life to him. That's what he says in this passage. It was life-giving, the way the joy and the love and the faith of these Christians in Thessalonica. Life in Scripture does not only mean just body and soul, as you see here. Apostle Paul was strengthened in his heart, and it sprang from the love that he saw from these Christians. And that's what gave him much encouragement. He encouraged them, and therefore they encouraged him. It went back and forth. It was a back and forth encouragement. But if life gives a faithful leader, a faithful shepherd, if love gives life to a faithful leader and a faithful shepherd, what does apostasy do? What does a lack of love do? It hurts a faithful leader and a faithful shepherd. Apostle Paul would have been hurt if he got news from Timothy that these Christians are not loving each other. These Christians have fallen away from the faith. These Christians are giving up each other to the prisons. They're not visiting one another as they are in prison. They're not taking care of the sick, the widow, the orphan. They're not restoring one another. Apostle Paul would have been sick, but he hears the good news. And so apostasy kills the heart of faithful leaders. But now the Apostle Paul lives. And that's why when believers are persevering in opposition, they really need encouragement. That's as we go through many sufferings together, as we go through many oppositions together, those are the times that we are to even more comfort one another. Those are the times that we ought to even more show love for one another. And shepherds are to take joy and thank the Lord when they see perseverance. That's what the Apostle Paul is doing right now. He says, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you for all the joy that we will feel for your sake before our God?" God was the author and the upholder of their faith. It was God who was strengthening them. It wasn't just the faith of these Christians. It was God working through their faith, strengthening them, encouraging them to move forward. And it's a shepherd's joy in the people's faith that breaks forth in thanksgiving. Shepherds love to see any ounce of perseverance, any ounce of faith, any ounce of love that's being shown. They love that. They take joy. They take comfort. Even the smallest obedience, they are encouraged by it. And that's why the Apostle Paul gives thanks more beyond that he can even express in this passage. But he still gives thanks. And all the believers should have that same reaction that their shepherds are having thanks, giving thanks to God and encouraging one another and loving one another. And so by application, are you encouraged? Are you encouraged by a believer's faith and love and opposition? Or is it something else? Is it their talents? Is it their money? Is it their giving? Is there their emotional love for you? But it has to be a love in action. Are you encouraged by that? Are you encouraged by their perseverance in the faith? And if you haven't understood that, then we are to have meaningful conversations with one another. In other words, we need to check on one another and see how we are persevering in spite of the opposition. How is our faith being increased? How is our love being increased? We need to have, it does not just need to be an elder asking these questions. Every member of Christ's body is to be encouraged by the faith and love for one another. Not gifts, not carnal things, not talents, but faith and love. But you ought to encourage those who persevere. even the most minor saint, even the least saint among us, the most immature, all those, all people who are in Christ's church need encouragement. And so if you see any ounce of faith, any ounce of love that you see from a member in Christ's church, give them encouragement. That should be your joy. And you should love that. If not, then you are having in your heart a lack of love for the body. And you need to ask the Lord to grant you repentance for that. And we, as shepherds, we are encouraged by the faith of all those who are persevering in faith and love, especially as they're doing it through a dark trial. Everybody is encouraged by one another when they see that. And so have these conversations with one another. Give these testimonies of how the Lord is doing work in your life. See all the things that even the churches that are going through much persecution, see their encouragement as they move forward in their love for one another. Those things will strengthen your faith. It will give you encouragement. Lastly, true believers will pray for others to continue in love and holiness. This is starting off in verse 10. As we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. What a great prayer that the Apostle Paul is giving here. Prayer is essential in the life of the church. This is why we have prayer meetings, and this is why we continually, even out of prayer meetings, pray for one another. It is essential in the life of the church. And Paul knew this. How many times has he opened up letters saying he has prayed for these churches that he is writing letters to? He loved to pray. It was most of Apostle Paul's ministry, praying for his people earnestly. He says night and day. It was constantly the Apostle Paul had on his heart all the faith of these people. And he desired to meet them face to face, which goes to show you, even though we are reading a letter from the Apostle Paul, and even though this letter, this scripture, there is something that was lacking. Apostle Paul needed to meet them and give that preached word unto them. Because there are certain things that cannot move forward unless the word be preached, unless there's counsel towards those who believe. His letters are not sermons. And so the Apostle Paul needed to give personal care to each and every one of them. And part of that was preaching. And so many times Paul asked for prayer for even himself, that he would see some of the people that he was ministering to face to face. Prayer is the means by which we obtain grace. And that faith and love, if you want to increase in that, you have to pray. And that's why Paul prayed for them. And they in turn prayed for Paul. And Paul asked for prayer himself. And there are many things that we are going to lack in our faith. None of us is perfect. None of us has perfect faith. And so what are some of those things that we lack? We lack mysteries. Some things are just we don't understand unless we continue on reading God's word. There are babes in the faith. There are mature people in the faith. But everyone needs encouragement. But there is always something lacking. If you think you're in a state where you're not lacking anything in your faith, you're in deep error. And you need to check yourself. So there are many things that are lacking. Some are mysteries that might be hard to understand. Clarity. There are some things that they hold to, a lot of things that are true in the Bible, but sometimes it's just not clear. And that's why the Apostle Paul wants to go there to restore that clarity, restore what is lacking in it. So you have mysteries, you have clarity. What else? Fruits. The resurrection life. That could be lacking. There are some Christians who are not mature in their obedience towards the Lord. And so, Apostle Paul, through his preaching, through his counseling, and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in him, he would help them to develop more fruit in their life. But what do we all experience? Not just those three things, mysteries, clarity, fruits, but satanic hindrances. We are in a fight. It has begun through the garden, in the Garden of Eden. We are fighting. This is a war. Apostle Paul himself was hindered by Satan. He says it right here. It was demonic activity that kept the Apostle Paul from moving forward to seeing them face to face. And so what do you say? I'm praying that all satanic hindrances would be done away with, that it would direct our way towards you. And so those are the things that we might be lacking. Those are the things that we might be experiencing. But believers must pray for one another to increase in love. Paul says that he prayed that they would increase abundantly, bountifully in love. This is the same love that turned the world upside down, like I was saying. It is mutual love that is required for all Christians. Love is of God and is fulfilling the gospel and the law. And Paul reminds them of this love to motivate them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. And so they must increase. They must increase bountifully. And that's what the Apostle Paul prays. This could be, right here, it could be a benediction, as you will. Because he says, may you increase in love for one another, abound in love for one another, for all that we do for you. That is such great, great prayer that the Apostle Paul is giving. But believers ought to pray for established hearts and holiness. That's what he says here. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God. Now, we looked at that word blameless before. Apostle Paul said he was blameless. And Apostle Paul was longing for them to be blameless. And this is a prayer from the Apostle Paul. A lot of people do not believe that they can be blameless. But this is something that we ought to seek. And blameless does not mean that you are perfect, that you lack no sin in your life. Apostle Paul cannot claim that. Nobody can claim that. But to be blameless is to have love and devotion towards God. Even though it's perfect, you confess your sins, you seek to restore, and you seek to reconcile with one another and with the Lord. And it's with holiness, blameless and holiness, where love shines forth. Love shines forth. Hearts must be established. That means it must be strengthened. It must be encouraged. And it must be done in love. And if not, then you are a hypocrite. And hypocrites will fall in the hour of temptation. Why? Because he lacks love. And that's not blameless. That's blameable. But believers must seek holiness until the coming of the Lord. Without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. And your heart must be established. Your heart must be motivated. It must be unblameable. Because in that day, you cannot withstand the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ if you are having a heart that is blameable, a heart that's not filled with love and encouragement. So we ought to pray for one another to increase in holiness. And if that's not happening, we ought to ask the Holy Spirit would not allow us to be overcome by spiritual warfare. So pray for one another to increase in holiness, and pray for one another to overcome all spiritual warfare. And know that the Holy Spirit will enable you to do this. It's one thing to pray for these things, but you must believe.
You must trust
to do this. That's where faith comes in. You must believe and trust in the Lord that He would give you the strength, and you will move on in faith and love towards God and towards others. And are you seeking to be unblameable until that very great day when the Lord Jesus Christ cracks the sky, despite all the temptations that you all have? Are you praying? Are you seeking that, to be unblameable? Are you seeking to love one another? Are you seeking to overcome? If not, understand this. It will be better to go to heaven bruised, battered, all types of torments in this life. It'll be better to experience that and go to heaven than to have an easy-going life. Easy-going life, no sacrificing for one another, and slide right into hell. It's dangerous. We are to have that love, that grace in our hearts. And so, let us seek the Lord Jesus Christ. This right here, this passage is a pivotal moment in this letter to the Thessalonians. It makes all the things that came before it and all the things that come after it. It's a big transition. So from now on, everything you see, everything you hear from this passage from now on, it's about this prayer that the Apostle Paul gives. But until then, we must rely upon the Lord. We must rely upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is our true shepherd, who is the one who always keeps his people in mind. He loves with a love that's unimaginable. He loves all of us, and he increases us in that faith. And so rely upon him. He will allow you to move forward in this life. But you must trust in him, and you must rest in him. And if you do truly do that sincerely, the Lord will be with you all.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage that is a pivotal point in this letter, Lord, but also a pivotal understanding of what the Christian life is all about. We pray, Lord, that we will all increase in faith and love despite opposition, Lord. And help us all to be an encouragement to one another, and help us all to look forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, living lives that are holy and without blame before him. Help us in every way, Lord, for we are your people and you are our shepherd. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our hymn of response.